you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in the book of Genesis. We're at chapter 38. This is God's word. "At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hira. There, Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and lay with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son who was Ur. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kizib that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, 'Lie with your brother's wife to fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother.' But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight. So he put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, 'Live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up.' For he thought, 'He may die too, just like his brothers.' So Tamar went to live in her father's house. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep. And his friend Hira the Adullamite went with him. When Tamar was told, 'Your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep,' she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, 'Come now, let me sleep with you.' 'And what will you give me to sleep with you?' she asked. 'I'll send you a young goat from my flock,' he said. 'Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it?' she asked. He said, 'What pledge should I give you?' 'Your seal and its cord and the staff in your hand,' she answered. So he gave them to her and slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. After she left, she took off her veil and put on her widow's clothes again. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by his friend the Adullamite in order to get his pledge back from the woman, but he did not find her. He asked the men who lived there, 'Where is the shrine prostitute who is beside the road at Enaim?' 'There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here,' they said. So he went back to Judah and said, 'I didn't find her. Besides, the men who lived there said, there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here.' Then Judah said, 'Let her keep what she has or we will become a laughingstock. After all, I did send her this young goat, but you didn't find her.' About 3 months later, Judah was told, 'Your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution, and as a result, she is now pregnant.' Judah said, 'Bring her out and have her burned to death.' As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law, I am pregnant by the man who owns these, she said. And she added, see if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are. Judah recognized them and said, she is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son Shelah. And he did not sleep with her again. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said, this one came out first. But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out. And she said, so this is how you've broken out. And he was named Perez. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out, and he was given the name Zerah. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In the previous chapter, we're introduced to Joseph. Joseph's dreams, the coat of many colors, the conflict with his brothers. He's thrown in a pit. He's sold as a slave. And now the story shifts. Joseph is down in Egypt working as a slave, and we get this story. Why do we get this story? Well, because God decided that we needed this story. Yeah, but I mean, what is there of significance about this story? Well, it's an embarrassing thing. This is not the sort of story that families like to tell about what went on in the family. Judah had three sons. God killed the first two. Now, there are a whole lot of bad people in the Bible. But there aren't that many where God just zaps them. These guys were really bad. Judah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. I mean, God is known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Judah, you would think, coming from that kind of family that God is so identified with, you'd think that Judah would be having some good kids himself. But if you go back and you look, Abraham was far from perfect. Isaac was definitely not perfect. Jacob was probably the sleaziest of the three. And so now, Judah shouldn't really be necessarily expected to have a bunch of pure and virtuous children. Instead, they take after their daddy and their mama. And they're wicked. And Ur is so wicked that God kills him. And after God kills him, his widow is now not going to have any children. Therefore, as she gets old, she won't have anybody to take care of her. And Ur was supposed to be the heir who got the double portion. You got three boys. The oldest one gets a double share. You basically divide your estate into four pieces, and two go to the oldest, and then a fourth goes to the second, and a fourth goes to the third. But here's the deal. In order for her to be able to inherit her husband's estate, it's got to go to his kids. They hadn't had any. So what are we going to do about that? Well, there was a provision in the law for that. And that is that the next brother in line would have sexual relations with her for the purpose of giving not just her a child, but the deceased brother a child. And that child would inherit the father's blessing. That child would get the double portion. That child would make it possible for the name to be carried on. And the child that Onan was to have with Tamar would have been Ur's son. Well, Onan knew that. That meant he wouldn't get as much of an inheritance. He's doing something for his brother. He's doing something for his dad because his dad's the one who told him, this is what we do. This is the way you're to respond. But he says, what's in it for me? So he used Tamar sexually for his own self-gratification. And then before she was able to conceive, the Bible says he spilled his semen on the ground each time that he went in to have relations with her. The consequence was she did not get pregnant. I will tell you as a side note, that is not a reliable method of birth control, even though there are people who do that today. But God, looking at that situation, saw the selfishness and the deceit of Onan and killed him too. Deceitful, selfish behavior. It was inside the tent. Nobody else could see. God saw. It was wicked in the Lord's sight. God sees what we do even when nobody else does. Other people may look and say, nice tent. But inside the tent, what's going on? Well, let me ask you a question. How is it with you and the Lord? What's the situation inside your tent where you live in private? What's going on? Because it matters. It matters.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, in Onan's case, and it was not a one-time event, please notice it says in verse 9, whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother. Deliberately withholding from her what she was legally supposed to receive, morally, ethically supposed to receive. That, what he did, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so he put him to death also. So Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. Why did he say that? Was it really because Shelah was so young? No. It was because, for he thought, it says, he may die too, just like his brothers. So Tamar went to live in her father's house. Judah is not being honest with her. He's being deceitful. Understandably, he is concerned. If you're the dad and son number one, your pride and joy goes into the tent with Tamar and it has to be carried out as a corpse, that's shocking. But when son number two goes into the tent and he has to be carried out as a corpse, okay, now we've got a pattern developing. I don't want to send son number three. I've only got three kids. I don't want to send my third son in there, or he may end up dead too. So instead of saying to her, I don't know what you're doing to these guys, but I don't want to send you son number three. He says, son number three is just too young. Sheila's too young. You go live back at your dad's house, and when Sheila's older, he can come and be your husband. Well, time goes by. Shelah is now definitely grown up. There is no question about this. And Tamar has not been invited back to Judah's camp. So Tamar deceitfully arranges to meet Judah when he's going on a business trip. And she wears a disguise. She takes off her widow's clothing, which she had been wearing up to that point and which she would wear again after that point, still honoring the memory of her husband, Ur. She takes off those things and she puts on something more seductive, including the veil, because back in Bible times, people knew that prostitution was a bad thing and you should be ashamed of yourself. Okay? And so prostitutes wore a veil, not because they were all ugly, but because what they were doing was shameful. So, she dresses as a prostitute. She waits for him by the roadside. And predictably, he does what she anticipated he would do. He's lost his wife. He's grieved for her. And so when he sees a prostitute, he thinks, hey, I'm a widower. I'm entitled. It's okay. Who's to know? Let me tell you who's to know. The same one who sees what's going on in the tent. God knows. God knows. You can fool everybody else. God knows. So, he turns aside, says to her, let me sleep with you. She says, what do you give me? I'll give you a kid. I'll send you a young animal from the flock. She says, well, you don't have any young animals on you right now, big boy. What are you going to give me as a pledge? What are you going to give me as security? He says, well, what do you want? She says, I want your driver's license and your American Express card and your handgun. Huh. Okay, you have a nice voice. So he hands her his signet ring, which was not only his ID, but it was like his credit card. It was with that he could make financial commitments. Whoever had it could make financial commitments in his name. And his staff. Huh. He was not expecting to lose those things. Well, she takes them. They have sexual relations. He leaves to go arrange for payment to her, sends his friend the Adullamite to take care of it, and the Adullamite can't find her. Looking all around, imagine if you're the friend who's been entrusted, go get my stuff back, okay? And you have to come back and say, I'm sorry, I still got the kid, but we couldn't find him. We asked around. Everybody said there is no shrine prostitute who lives there. So it's all a mystery. Judas says, well, we'll be a laughingstock if this becomes public, so let's just keep it on the quiet, and we'll move on with our lives. 3 months later, not 3 weeks later, not 3 days later, 3 months later, all of a sudden, we got a problem. Tamar is now expecting a child. Therefore, obviously, she has been involved in immorality. She has played the harlot. She's been immoral, a prostitute that's terrible. He says, we'll burn her alive. What a horrible thing. My son's widow, disgracing his memory. How horrible. She deserves death. Bring her here. So she sends a message. Verse 25. As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law. I'm pregnant by the man who owns these, she said. And she added, see if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are. Well, that came as a message. Therefore, somebody had to bring the stuff to Judah. Tamar says that the father of the child she's carrying is the owner of these things, and you are supposed to See if you recognize them. Everybody knew whose those were. That's Judah's staff. That's Judah's seal. That's the cord for Judah's seal. Oh. Oh my. You see, when we hear that somebody else has done something, we can just be outraged. Oh, there's so much more I could tell. I'm just telling you. Be careful. Because it's one thing to see it in somebody else and condemn it. It's another thing to recognize it in yourself. And thank God, when Judah realized what had happened, he said, she is more righteous than I. Because he realized that he had failed to keep his promise to her. He had left her in a bad situation, and he had done so through selfishness and deceit. Guilty of the same sin that Onan was guilty of. And Onan lost his life over it. Judah not only wasn't struck down dead by God, Judah was allowed to see the birth of the twins that his daughter-in-law had conceived that were his offspring. Pastor Wood, that's not okay, is it, to have relations between a man and his daughter-in-law? No, that is absolutely not okay. That is an incestuous relationship. It is sinful. It is forbidden by God in Scripture. It is not okay. But as we've said when we looked at Matthew chapter 1, out of this sin, God brought the royal line. It was not Sheila's descendant who becomes part of the royal line. It is Tamar and Judah's twin. They're one of their twin boys who becomes a part of the royal line. From this bad thing, we will get the line of David, a man after God's own heart. From this bad thing, through David's line, we will get Solomon, whom God loved, despite the fact that his mother was not supposed to be married to David. She already had a husband. Through this line, this horrible thing, we will eventually get Messiah. Both Joseph and Mary coming from the royal line through David. Let me just tell you something. God is so great that on the one hand, he can strike people dead because of their sin. And on the other hand, he can take their sin and bring something good out of it. Does that give us the right to go out and then sin and say, well, God doesn't really care. He's able to bring good out of it. No, it does not. Ask Onan. Ask Ur. But please understand that no matter how badly you've messed up or how badly somebody else has messed up, if you come to him and ask his mercy and his grace, God is able to take something bad and make something beautiful. The most evil thing people have ever done was nailing Jesus to the cross. And through his crucifixion, God set us free. That's the God we worship. Realize that when things are going very wrong, God is still at work to accomplish what is good for his people who trust in him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.